And good morning, everybody, and welcome once again to the Times of Your Life on WJTN Jamestown. I'm Andrew Hill.
I'm Russ Dietrich.
And Russ, it's great to be back in the studio again here on a beautiful fall morning. Yes. And we have a fantastic guest. It's not his first time here. And I think we could invite this guy back 1,000 times and have a different story every time.
Well, that's a very good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you doing tomorrow afternoon?
Watching the Bills game, right?
Watching it.
Jerry Lee, welcome back to the Times of Your Life. Jerry, for our audience that is a little familiar with the name, but maybe just needs a quick background, who are you?
I guess a lot of people would probably answer that differently. but Jamestown resident, graduated JHS in 95 and spent a lot of time working in marketing around here before starting a marketing agency in Orchard Park. I took a little sabbatical around the COVID period, which didn't really work out well, right, to come back closer to home. But recently went back to OP, so now I'm commuting again, working in Buffalo, doing marketing, but still living in Jamestown and hanging out with people like Russ when I can.
What's your description of marketing?
I guess helping businesses become, proud and wear on their sleeve what makes them different. Helping them reach their audience for the right reasons. Kind of helping differentiate them. What makes them different from other businesses like them.
And what are some of the tools that help you do that?
A lot of website development and advertisements and a lot of media, radio. Is a very prominent one still, and there's so many different ways to consume the media. So it's, everything from streams on smartphones to laptops to print work. And we've dabbled in all of those. I'm a very big fan of print. Did spend a little bit of time working with the great team at Falconer Printing, and getting into to see all the goodies that technology brings too. So lots of really fun stuff.
Yeah, you shared off air the beautiful calendar you put together on the Buffalo Bills for 2021, and you shared it and I'm making copies of it.
Sure.
And you tied Falconer Printing to it.
Yes. Yeah, they were able to print it for me. It was just a holiday gift that I guess I did for my friends and family that where I got to use some photography of a Bills game. I was actually fortunate enough to get a media pass for to take some photos and got some stuff that I didn't want to just put on a computer hard drive and let it collect dust. So I had to put them to use to a calendar.
And how did you connect it with the Buffalo Bills?
It was so it's a good story. It's a little longer.
Hey, we got that.
So I actually when I was working in Orchard Park for the agency, I did a lot of work with some media partners up in the greater Buffalo area. And because of the whining and dining nature, they offered me a trip to a Bills game in Indianapolis, and they asked if I wanted to go, and I obviously said yes very quickly, and I got to fly on the team plane, and it was really unlike any experience I had to that date, and I got to go with the team and on the bus and. Tried to get as close to having conversations with players as I could without overstaying my welcome. And at the hotel on that trip, I saw somebody waiting to get on the elevator who had a really nice camera. It was a Sony camera, and I had typically only ever shot with Canon or Nikon myself. So I asked him about, the camera, and he had all kinds of stuff to talk to me about, which was good because the players were actually getting on the backside of the elevator, so there were tens of people waiting to get on these elevators and screaming, and the two of us were having this great talk about photography. And we went to our separate rooms, and the next morning when I went to the game, they let us get on the sidelines pregame to, as part of the package I was on, and the photographer comes walking past me and stops, and I didn't know he worked for the Bills. I didn't know he was even a sports photographer, and he asked me if I want to take a look at his equipment. So we spent 5 minutes, explaining to me what the lenses were and everything, and went separate ways and didn't run into each other for 6 months until I was at a St. Bonaventure faculty Christmas party. I instruct in that program as an adjunct, and Craig was there. And I saw Craig, and the third time now running into him, not knowing how it's possibly happening. And I went over to him and found out that he also is an adjunct in the sports marketing classes at the school. And he asked me what I was doing the next day. And I said, well, I'm going to the Bills game. And he said, can I improve your seats? and I said, yeah, I'd love that. And came in with a pass from the car and said, meet me early in the morning. And everything took off from there. It was completely unreal.
Well, what was your first camera?
My first was not even an SLR. It was just a standard flip-up Canon camera that I actually got laughed at in film class for using. It did use film, but it was not, you know, not a professional one. And along the lines of working in marketing, luckily, when you work for like a corporate client, they have money budgets for things like equipment and that nature. In the agency environment, it's a little bit more cutthroat. But we had all the tools that we ever wanted to learn and play with. And I was fortunate enough to have some really good photographers that were kind of pointing me which way to go. And Craig did that when I got on the field. So when I met up with him, I borrowed a lens from somebody else that was a really nice telephoto. And Craig gave me the pointers, always shoot for their eyes, wait to try to capture their eyes when you can in a shot. And he ran around the field the whole day. I followed him around and tried to do what he was doing and ended up getting some really amazing stuff while I was doing it.
Do they still do 35mm slides?
I'm certain somebody does. I'm certain somebody does. I bet you the market's not quite what it used to be. That's the one.
Awesome.
Well, you know, and to that point, what was really exciting about shooting film or shooting at the game was, you know, they're using digital media, and the cards that they have, the cameras that they have, use dual memory cards, so they can shoot on two at the same time, and they have a runner who stands behind the photographer with another memory card and will stand there and tap him on the shoulder. He'll pull his card and they'll exchange. And then the runner will take off to the media room where there's 20 people waiting at computers to edit all the photos. They'll give the card, take the content off, and he'll run back out to the photographer and switch again. And the editors are throwing all of these files into a folder for the AP to get to. It's like clockwork. And because it's not film, because it's right to these discs, the speed at which they can get some of those shots on from the sidelines right online is amazing.
So even with the technology today, they're shooting these pictures in such high resolution that, you know, you're not going to be able to get 100 photos on an SD card like a normal person would.
Sure. And it's not even as much as like filling the cards up. As soon as he gets that shot, they want it published. You know, so like they're swapping out just to get the content to that room as fast as they can.
Do they still make flash bulbs?
I don't know that I've seen one in a while.
the old fashioned. They would get
everything's
one shot
LED
out of
now.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Now, I was looking at this calendar. Jerry Lee's with us here on the Times of Your Life on WJTN. And, you know, you keep saying Craig. And I'm looking and I'm going, God, Craig looks familiar. Craig Melvin.
Yes.
And Craig actually was a hockey goalie. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
So when you see Craig next, you're going to have to tell him. I used to sub for him in the Jamestown Adult Hockey League when I was 15, 16 years old.
That's crazy.
And Craig, you know, at first I was like, oh, he's just a goalie. And then I had found out that he actually took photos at the Sabres games, too. And I saw him at a Sabres game once, tucked into the corner with the hole in the glass, and come to find out that he was a professional photographer, but also some of his photographs were put on hockey cards.
Yeah.
So you'll have to bring that up to Craig. I know Craig suffered a really nasty injury playing hockey with his neck and wasn't able to play anymore, but still seeing him at the sports games and crouch down. I mean, these guys are athletes as well. And I would love to ask Craig, have you ever been hit on the sideline by one of these players? Because this past weekend, I know in the NFL, there was at least two or three photographers, videographers that just got run over. And one of the games, I'm trying to think who it was. It might have been the Cleveland game. They'd like take a 10-minute break. because this guy was down. He ended up being okay, and the stadium's roaring for him because he gets on his feet. He's like, I don't need a stretcher. But the players are coming over. That's how close an experience you got at this Bills game. You're right there in the action.
Yeah, you know, and there's two things that are kind of interesting. One's actually related to wrestling, but to the other one, my favorite shot that I got that day was taken from the 8-yard line, and we were at the side of the field for that one, and Josh Allen was in shotgun, and I looked to Craig and I said, "Watch, he's going to run it right at us." And he takes the ball and comes straight for us. And it was one of those moments where I thought, "Is he actually going to be run out of bounds right here?" Because we were right on the sideline. But he cut the corner and he ran it in for a score, which was a series of 6 or 8 shots that I got while he was turning the corner. That was really, really cool. But Craig also shoots for WWE wrestling.
Oh, cool.
And he's got headsets in, and they're telling him, you know, make sure you're at this turnbuckle and this one. And he has been talking to me about how even COVID changed the proximity to which the photographers can get in on the action, which means that they're all contorted in ways that they weren't even, you know, in addition to what they had to do before to try to get some of the shots that they have. And it was pretty wild. It's the stories that he has to tell. And, you know, when he said he shot for score football cards, like that was just as cool for me as anything that he had done.
Well, Greg, you know, when you do this and put this calendar together, do you have to get permission from all of these people?
I'm absolutely certain that none of this is something that I should be selling. I know with the media pass, you're able to get and use the stuff that you take, but I know, and you can, you know, print it for your own personal use and things like that. But it's not something that, you know, I probably should be putting in a storefront or making any kind of money off of. It was just, you know, I have to do something with these.
Sure.
So I tried my best to make the calendar itself look like a nice piece that somebody would want to hang up.
I want to go backwards because you just made a reference to cards. And
yeah.
A couple weeks ago, when Russ and I got the Time of Life back on the air, we were fortunate enough to be able to go down to Ballgame Heroes on 3rd Street in Jamestown near the Ice Arena. And we spoke with Star Ryder for about an hour and could have probably been there for two to talk about sports memorabilia and collecting and how COVID has done this really a huge favor. If there's one positive that's come out of this pandemic, it's that people were forced to stay inside, do a little house cleaning, and maybe pick up on some of their old favorite hobbies, which one of the reasons we brought you in was card collecting.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you're a man of all trades. Our conversation can go in 1,000 different directions, which it still will because we're only 15 minutes into it. But let's jump right now on this beautiful case. I would think you have $1 million in there or a $10,000 piece of photography equipment. But no, it looks like you have some other most prized possessions. What did you bring us today?
I just brought a handful of the more recent cards that I've been collecting. And, you know, it's really wild as a collector to have seen what's happened in the last couple of years. And, you know, I think in addition to COVID putting everybody in their homes, I think one thing that companies like Topps and Panini, who may actually be a name that fades away very soon, thanks to some new licensing decisions, but like these companies are capitalizing also on the fact that the collector base is now bringing up kids that are the age that the collectors were when they first got into the, to the, you know, one of the big resurgences came in the mid to late 90s and in the late 80s actually. And those kids grew up and have a little bit more disposable income these days. And, you know, it's what happened to me. When my nephew, I have one daughter, but I have a nephew that has kind of filled the void of the son of the family to me. And when he got to the 12 and 13 age and we started going to the Bills games, we started stopping and getting some football cards to open. And he pulled an autographed card of his favorite player that may or may not have been slipped into the pack with him not seeing it by his uncle.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's now old enough that I think he's going to really laugh if he gets to hear that. And just the look on the kid's face, you know, and it absolutely took me back to my dad doing the same thing for me and, you know, picking up cards at the store, and everywhere I could look, I would see the football card pack somewhere in the store, whether it was the grocery store or the gas station.
There's always the checkout. That's where they got you.
And did you like the card better than the bubble gum?
You know, that was one of the things that I think that started to fade out at my time, but I would have been super happy to get the gum. It's, back then, though, it was such a different time, because you were hunting for your favorite player.
Right.
You know, and you wanted, if you were lucky, you got three of his cards. Mm-hmm. And, you'd put them in fancy cases, and the market just became super oversaturated, and they tried to fill that demand with as much production as they could. And that's why all of us who saw our parents collecting these, Lou Gehrig cards that are, vintage and priceless, the collections that we were making didn't share any of that because they were so overproduced. And Panini and Topps figured that out by the time we got old enough to buy again. And then they started producing cards that had, pieces of memorabilia in them, and they were autographed and they were limited, and that literally with a stamped number of so many of them produced. And that's what started the new collection. So when I got into it, mostly to help satiate the child in my nephew, he had grown up faster than I did at that age, and I took over the childlike behavior and kept building my own collection. So I have a pretty substantial collection of Josh Allen stuff because mm-hmm. he happened to be the rookie for my favorite team at the time. Right. I didn't think he was going to turn into the superstar caliber player he might still become, and at the time that I was picking up the cards, the investment was a lot smaller for a Buffalo athlete,
right?
Who wasn't proven,
right?
So now my collection is a little bit more sought after than it was in 2018, but it nonetheless, it's something that I love to pick up and go through and trade with friends.
There is most of the baseball card collection and production onshore. Is there many other? Is there much of this going on offshore?
That's a phenomenal question. I don't know the answer to that. I know that the companies are all American companies, but I think the production and printing could very easily be something that's sent overseas, and that's something that's improved tremendously too.
Because baseball is big in other countries, South America,
sure.
And Japan.
Well, I know so are the fandom over it. eBay is, you get people buying overseas constantly if you're putting something up there. Mm-hmm. And there's cards now and then that I'll buy that, have to get on a boat to make it over here.
What is your favorite card in your collection? Not the one that's worth the most, yep. or the oldest, but what is your favorite card?
It's not here because it's not one that has to go in these cases, and it's not a valuable one. It's my Ryan Sandberg rookie, and it's not because it's valuable at all. It's probably worth half of what it was when my dad bought it for me for my 10th birthday, and it's also not centered great, and it's got a corner because I handled it so much, because when I was a kid, I would take it out and lay in bed and read it. And, it's one that I'm actually going to send in to be slabbed. They put it in a plastic case, and they'll grade the condition, which I don't care what the grade is. Right. I just want to have it protected. But that's easily the one that I have hundreds of his cards. And that was just the one that I never had enough money to buy that, appeared on my end table my birthday morning.
Did you ever put your cards in your bicycle spokes?
Constantly. And the players that were on those cards, in that era were the ones that you got in every pack that you opened. But we knew enough not to put the good ones there. But yeah, for sure. My, my business partner at the Quilted Squirrel, the marketing agency I work at, not trying to plug it, but he used to put hairspray on his to make them extra shiny because thought that it would improve the value of the card. And, 3 hours later, they're all one block of cards that are stuck together. But he tells that story all the time of how many he potentially lost, because they wanted to make them better.
Sure.
It's funny.
So what is your most expensive right now? If we were to go on eBay today and say, hey, this is for sale, what card in your collection do you think would get you the most money?
I really don't know. And I have a handful here that are probably some higher graded cards, like some autographed rookie cards of Allen that I have that are pretty big. I have a Connor McDavid Otters card that's autographed. That's pretty nice. The ones that I have probably stop at maybe 3,000. I had a really nice Patrick Mahomes card that I sold to pay off my mortgage. And it literally did both. It was a very, very nice card. And, I got to write my last check to,
the bank.
Yeah. To the bank for that one. But you know, a lot of the stuff that I collect is more for not necessarily the card and the autograph or the condition, but it's the memorabilia that's in the cards.
Yeah, a little bit of pride.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of the cards today that are my favorite within my collection are ones that have pieces of like decals from the helmets, and you know, cleats, part of the shoe, and
which is relatively new.
It is, yeah.
Which is just one great way to say you literally have a piece of history.
Yeah, and I think one of my favorite cards in the collection is college related, and that's one thing that's really interesting in the industry. So when cards are released, the first ones of the season, I'm very heavy into football these days, so that's why you'll hear me speaking more about them instead of baseball. But when the first few card series are released for the year, there isn't photography available of the players in their NFL uniforms, so they'll use college cards. So the first seasons will be, you know, the high draft picks, and you'll see Josh Allen in his Wyoming helmet and jersey, and if there's a patch on it, it'll be the Wyoming patch, or if you're lucky, you get a patch on the card that was from like one of their playoff bowl patches, which is what I really like. And they're very unique because they're not what you're going to see for the rest of their career. Like once they don the Bills jersey, you're going to get years worth of red and blue and white patches. Mm-hmm. And I really like the college stuff because it's different. And my first, purchases were all to find the cards of him from Wyoming and build up a collection of those. So I tried to get, you know, the card with his helmet sticker and with his jersey and one of his sideline baseball caps, and build up as many of those as I can. But the industry tends to put a higher value on the NFL stuff. They don't want their college gear. Part of the reason why I did that too was because I didn't know if he'd last in Buffalo.
Sure.
It's a small market. If he did turn out, he might end up wanting to go somewhere else, and then his college cards would be worth, you know, more to me. As it turns out, like I did still get my hands on a handful of nice Bills jersey stuff as well. But I find it just fascinating that, you know, Idaho Potato Bowl patch makes its way onto a football card.
Right.
And there's cards with the Allstate logo from, you know, the bowls that Alabama seems to make it to every year. And those are so much different than the patches that make it onto NFL stuff. But there's just so much that they'll take. Baseball puts slivers of bats in cards now. I've seen some that have laces from the shoes. It's pretty phenomenal the amount of memorabilia they'll put into that, but it's one way of making sure it doesn't get overpopulated again.
Sure.
And they don't just mass produce, you know, the value out of it.
Sure.
I also brought an Aaron Judge one that I just ended up making a deal for from a friend of mine that I thought you'd get a kick out of, which I'm going to see a buddy of mine who has a son who's pitching in the junior leagues right now, and I can't wait to bring that to him. He's going to flip.
Now, do you remember when, because you graduated in 95, so you play football?
I did up until high school. I didn't play in high school, but I did midgets all my life.
I bet you when you were on the elevator with some Buffalo Bills, they were probably thinking, who's this rookie? Who's this guy? Because Jerry Lee, you're not a tiny guy. You're a football lineman.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I definitely fit more of the build of that than I do a wide receiver.
But I remember the reason I brought it up is when they started in the youth sports, being able to start making your own cards. You know, they would take a picture, you know, you'd have your team photo, individual photo, and then they started putting them in your own trading cards.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if there was any kids in Jamestown that ever traded themselves, but I thought it was pretty neat, you know, to autograph your own card.
Sure.
You know, of you in your hockey or a baseball or football uniform. It was pretty neat.
Well, and that's on that note. So you talked about Star and ballgame heroes, and I'm down there a lot. And, you know, he's doing something that I think is priceless for this area because, like, I've been there, and he's had a couple nights where trading nights where people bring their collections, and it's so much fun. Like, even as an adult to do this, it makes you feel like you're 10 again, like swapping with everybody. The stakes are a little higher, and you have to pay a lot more attention to it. But, you know, that store that he's got down there, I'm trying to help him, you know, with a website and some small stuff that I can offer him. But he's like one of those collectors from age of six that's hasn't stopped.
Right.
And you know, the store itself is as nice as it is. He had this Facebook group called Ball Game Heroes, and it was all friends of his that were just busting on each other's teams and you know, like, you know, busting each other's horns about who's better, and it was great conversation and diehard sports stuff, and he would share all the cards that he was collecting, and it just turned into a store. It turned into, like, the market kind of came around, and I'm so happy that he did it rather than some entrepreneur that wants to come in and capitalize on it. One of the things that he's actually going to do, I'm just hinting at this because there's a lot of work to do still, but the kind of make your own baseball card thing is going to be something that you might find in the store for the holidays.
Oh, cool.
So, like, there's a lot of stuff that we're working on down there that's going to be super interesting to do just what you said, to try to make people have stuff like that they can share.
A lot of it's the youth. I mean, you got to get the kids excited, as we've seen with the trading and collectibles and the autographs. I know things have changed a lot since we were kids, where you used to be able to stand in line, you know, and get an autograph or go to training camp and get an autograph. And now, if you want to get an autograph, catch the person at the right time, but plan on maybe even paying them.
Big money.
I mean, it's crazy, right, to think that only 30 years ago, you know, they were like, yeah, you know, no problem, kid. But now it's like, all right, that'll be $150. I mean, you're like, whoa, holy cow.
Yeah, and they're scheduled, and it's more if you want it on a jersey. If you want them to add HOF02, you're going to spend another $100 on it. Right. And, you know, that was the one thing that I have, because of my season tickets with the Bills, I sit in the club section more because I'm trying to get away from some of the stuff I didn't want my nephew seeing. They're better seats, and they come with a couple more perks. And one of them is they get you to training camp. They'll give you like an on-field square that you can go and watch from a closer vantage point. And they tell the players, you know, on the way out, stop by that area and sign if you can. And growing up, my nephew was a Marquise Goodwin fan is, you know, not a big name, not a big guy. He liked him because I accidentally used the phrase secret weapon when he came in and caught a touchdown pass to try to tell him he's not really a starter. He just comes in sometimes on some plays. And my nephew was immediately, you know, following that guy and wanted his jersey. And we had the whole nine. And I was able to have a sign made to take to training camp for Marquise Goodwin I gave to my nephew to try to flag him down. And he came over and spent, I don't know, 10 minutes with him after the game was over and signed everything and couldn't believe that he had his jersey, and he was super, super psyched. And so those interactions, those moments are, you know, the glue that I think holds Americana into sports right now. You know, it's that kind of attitude.
When it's stories like that, I think that, you know, for some of us go, all right, well, I'm okay with you making $1 million a year for catching a pigskin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's because they're heroes.
Sure.
To these kids. And even now we look at the people that we grew up, you know, watching, and they may not have had a fantastic career, or, you know, maybe got injured and ended up, you know, calling it quits. And now they might be famous in the broadcast booth, but we remember them playing for just that few years and have that connection. It's just fascinating that the human brain is, you know, that much, you know, attracted to these superstars.
Sure. Well, and we have that here in a different way, you know, at Russ Dietrich Park. And I know that Russ has heard this story, but, like, I grew up, you know, going to those games. And, you know, I had one year, one summer in particular, where my dad and I were on our own. My parents had split up, and we spent every day, every home game at the stadium. And I would sit on the porch and wait for him to get out of work, and I'd jump in the car, and we would listen to the radio and find out who had the free tickets that day. Uh-huh. We'd stop in and grab the tickets, and we had enough to buy a hot dog and every condiment that came with it. And we would have that for dinner, and I would proceed to go hang out on the dugout by Derek Hudson, who was an outfielder, a left fielder, number 55, who played here for 1 year. And every game would come out, call me Rusty, and sign something every day for me, because whether it was the stats from in the newspaper from the game before, or you know, photo that I had taken, something like that, he would trade me you know, his broken bats for art copies of his articles in the paper. And there was even a game where he got injured that he came out and sat in the stands with my dad and I, and I looked the guy up and ended up reaching out to him and finding him a couple of years ago, and had a great exchange with him, and just got to thank him for that. And he's one of those stories of, at the time, a 20-year-old, right, who didn't have any idea like what this kid's going through, and like buddying up with him for that summer, you know, kept my spirits high in what could have been a dark period. And like the professional athletes that get to the point where they're making gobs and gobs of money, who can still take the time, you know, to go out and do that, are the ones that you just have to be so thankful for, because they don't, it's very superficial to them. Like it's just a sport. You know, they're having fun and making this money, but they can really,
especially the ones that don't want the cameras there. They don't expect the cameras there and all the fanfare. And, Western New York, Buffalo sports, I know for sure, we are so lucky to have had that connection to our athletes, because there's a lot of them. Well, let's be frank, you know, we haven't had championships, so you don't have that, you know, caliber, you know, player, superstar. I mean, hopefully we will soon, but to just do it and then stay in Western New York and live here and work here or come back here. I mean, the Bills legends that seem to be, you know, coming back to every game when the team stunk, they're still their heroes, even though they never won a Super Bowl.
Sure. It's phenomenal. I think it's a certain kind of player that will, and there's also a certain kind of player that will, that moves away but keeps coming back and calling this home and coming for all of those moments. And I think we're, you know, the blue collar town that knows, you know, who we are and feels pretty okay about that.
Jerry, did you ever have any other interest, automobiles, antique cars, or any of that?
You know, not so much. My dad's a huge car guy. I grew up going to the World Series of Cars with our MG. I thought it was a cool looking car. He thought it was a classic sports car. So it was different for me. We would, you know, play the Beach Boys, and I'd have him drive by my friend's house in that car all the summers, all the time. And that's about as, I would never open the hood for anything unless I guess I dropped a toy in there or something. But these days he had the MG that we grew up with rebuilt, and my sister's taking it. And now my brother bought a similar one, and he's trying to build it. So now I actually have a little bit of an itch to maybe get one and work on it. I don't know anything about cars, so it would be a project for me to, you know, a way to figure out what a timing belt is. You know, like it might be kind of fun, but it's not something that, you know, it's been more tech and sports for me, I think.
I brought that up because I remember the Lee name at the World Series of Cars.
Yeah, we have a bunch of trophies from that car. And my dad was always, you know, he's always trying his best to get involved and, you know, to try to help with setting it up and making communities out of it. That's another thing that we have here that's beautiful. And as much as, you know, I work in Buffalo and there's a lot of stuff going on up there, and there's constantly an event every weekend, and they're not usually the ones that I'm drawn to, but Jamestown really does a good job of keeping the community, you know, active. And having events from everything from cards to, you know, God bless sports stores that are opening even in a down economy. And we do have a lot here that's pretty worth celebrating. I think the baseball stadium, as much as that's been in flux, and now we have a great team name and great you know, fanfare down for mm-hmm. the Tarp Skunks. Like, I think that's something that, unfortunately, not enough people celebrate. I think we do have a lot of really good things yeah. going on.
When you were back to the trading, the card
yeah,
trading,
yeah.
what was the card that you gave up and you woke up the next morning and go, oh, I can't believe I did that.
Oh, that's super easy. Let me try to make this a little easier to explain.
Don't cry.
Sometimes
the subject, Ross.
No, the card companies, they'll make a print run and then they have to get signed. And the signature might not be available. So they printed it. It's got to go in a box on this date. And Aaron Rodgers wasn't available to sign his card. So you might open a pack of cards that has an IOU in it.
Oh.
And that's literally what it is. You know, go to their website and enter the number. And when they get the card signed by whoever it is, then they'll send it to you.
Interesting.
And in the cases where it's taking a long time, like the player is not available to sign it, they can't do anything until they do, they'll send you a substitute if you choose. And I had a card that I had pulled out of a pack that was supposed to have autographs of 8 different Green Bay Packers, mm-hmm. Including Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And they're not a team that I'm super fond of. It was a very nice card, but I sent it in to claim the card and waited a year. And they hadn't sent it to me, so I called and asked if they could send a substitute, something of equal value in their eyes. And they sent me a really nice Patrick Mahomes card,
okay.
the one that I ended up
yeah.
sending, which was – he actually wrote Patty Ice on it, which was really interesting. I've never heard anyone call him that, and it made the card even more rare. It was a really fun card to hold while I had it. I'm very happy to have sold it for up – $5,500, and now it's probably worth 15, and I'm okay with
seriously?
It. Yeah, and I'm okay with it wow. because I was able to get a substantial amount for it. But while I had that card in my possession, everything else that was less than it, I figured I could let go
mm-hmm.
because I had this big one I was always going to get paid for, and I sold a bunch of his other cards mm-hmm. for next to nothing. One in particular I sold for $80 that's now close to $3,000. And that one's hard because I didn't get much for it and I saw that turn. So that one is the one that I wish I wouldn't have let go. And every now and then I'll see somebody selling a card like it and wonder if it's mine.
Uh-huh.
You know, wonder if that's the one that I did let go.
Jerry, the expensive card you're talking about, and Andrew, do they ever get less expensive, that card? Does it lose its value?
It certainly can, depending.
And what causes that?
But the performance of the player is a big one. You know, and one thing that's changed the card market, you know, all of cards today, you know, memorabilia itself, but specifically sports cards, should be an economics class because there is an entire economy that has grown up around what's happening with cards right now. There's retail product that is sold in stores like Walmart and Target for $20 a box if you can get it. And it comes with pretty base cards. You're not going to get anything too sexy out of it. No autographs. No. Maybe an autograph out of mm-hmm. every handful of boxes. And then there's hobby, and those are boxes that are sold to collectors and those who actually use this as like their hobby. And those ones can cost, instead of $20, you can pay up to $1,000 for 20 packs of cards because it comes loaded with products that are usually more sought after. And those two separate groups of people pay different money for the cards. And the high-end ones, if they get something that's great, they'll try to sell it on eBay and fight over, well, last one sold for, you know, $100, I want $110. Well, the other one had better corners than yours. And it becomes this whole big debate with them. And then they decided to start sending the cards out to be graded for their condition. And that became a mandatory thing. Like, you have to have the cards graded now, because then you know exactly what you're getting, and you can put a value on a perfect 10 graded card. And then if you're selling yours against somebody who's isn't graded, you're going to want to buy the graded one because you know that it's going to come in great condition and it's going to be worth more. The problem, though, is the demand in this industry for grading your cards has gotten so high that the companies that grade them can't get them back to you fast enough. And when you send in your collection to be graded, I have a friend of mine, and I split an order and sent about 100 cards in to be graded in April, and we're not going to get them back this year. Mm-hmm. And in that time, a lot of the cards that we sent in, we've seen the performers, the athletes tank, you know, mm-hmm. we've seen a lot of players that just it's going to take so long to get the cards back that their career is going to change and fall. And we're not going to get the investment that we could have had in it earlier. So their performance falling does a great deal of damage to the value of what you're holding on to. In the case of Josh Allen, his performance increased and the value of it went up tremendously.
Being a Buffalo Bill card collector, mm-hmm. how many O.J. Simpsons do you have?
I don't have any.
You don't have any?
No.
Did you ever have any?
No, I didn't, because he was in the era right before I got in. Mm-hmm. Occasionally you'll find him in some cards, but he's not anyone that I have a lot of Jim Kelly stuff. You know, the Super Bowl team, like that era, that's one that I definitely had more interest in. I actually have a Kelly one right here. Him and Andre Reed, like that was mm-hmm. that was the crew that I was collecting yeah. of the Bills stuff, but not so much the older cards. That's one thing that my collection is missing, is the older stuff. Like I started in 87, I think, was the first series that I would buy at the corner store for 50 cents a pack. And today it's a different case. You can't find cards unless you're willing to go on eBay and pay inflated resale prices, because the stores, the Walmarts and Targets that get cards today, they'll, as soon as they're on the shelf, they're gone.
Go ahead, Russ. Go ahead. I could tell you have something on your mind.
I'm just wondering, the cards that you're collecting today, mm-hmm. how long do you hold them?
Way longer than most people. I have a really hard time not spending time with them, and it sounds super odd, but sorting them, putting them in order, building sets, is incredibly therapeutic. Like when you are able to get a big box of them, I like going through them, and I like even these ones. Sometimes I'll handle them so much that the little bags they're in will get a little ripped, and I'll put them all in new bags one day. And what's really funny is when my nephew got me back into it, I must have spent $200 or $300 just on sleeves and everything to put all of my stuff in nice cases, and found out the cases were worth more than the cards I was putting in them because the 90s stuff just wasn't worth anything. But today, you know, I sell stuff occasionally, and I probably will sell a lot of my Josh Allen collection if things go the way I really hope they do with the team, just because it could mean, you know, central air to our house if I sell the right one.
No,
go ahead.
They have photo albums too, don't they, that they put the cards in?
Sure. Yeah. And it's, that's one. So this case right here is, I used to carry around like shopping bags with mine. And then I got to the first trading night at Ballgame Heroes, and I saw that everyone else looks like they were carrying guns in. And I said, I have to up my game here. And so we made a trip to get some nice storage for them. But there's most of the set that I have, most of the collection that I have is something that I'll, every once a week, you won't see my desk, because it'll just be covered with stuff that I'm flipping through. And what I really like to do is to go back and comb the worthless cards, mm-hmm. and you'll find, like, I didn't realize I had a Mike Trout rookie that I didn't know I had. And because some of the players take a couple years to do something. Baseball is a great example of that. There's so many rookies that spend extra years in the minors, and you know, they might have a card 3 years before they even hit the majors from that team, and you never know who you're going to find in that set. So some of that is fun to do too.
I know when you were talking about, you went down to the stadium to watch the ball games mm-hmm. down there. They used to have local cassettes of the Jammers, and you know, the ones that were actually playing on the field that day.
Sure, I have all the ones that were there.
NYP League. You have all those sets.
All of those, yeah. Every year that they had it, I had one. And then I was fortunate enough, when I went to work for Falconer Printing for a little while, they were the ones that were printing them. They had some uncut sheets left of those sets. And I was super happy to get some of those. And they didn't have any of the years that had, like, Randy Johnson or Marquise Grissom, but they did have They did have one with Giancarlo Stanton, who went by Michael Stanton back then. That was really cool. And, like, yeah, all of those. Like, because I wanted those not for the collectability. I wanted Derek Hudson's card. You know, I wanted Tyrone Woods' card. I wanted the players on that team that at the time were my heroes. You know, like those guys that gave me a high five coming out of the NYP championship. You know, like that was at the time why I wanted the card. You know, and I held on to it because I'm not letting anyone take that.
Many of those guys have gone to the major leagues.
Sure, yeah. And that's where Star has a good collection of the players who did. Mm-hmm. Of their stuff down there that's worth checking out. If you can't tell, I'm super happy we have a card store again.
And it's interesting to sit and think of you going all those times, your father. There were a lot of major league ball players that were on the other teams that came in here to play. So there's been some, like Jim Rizzoli used to say, you never know when you go to that game down there, but you're watching Hall of Famers.
Yeah, that's something I didn't pay enough attention to.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
So lucky to have that here all those years.
It was absolutely a gift, and it extends so far outside of just the game experience and the photos that I have of just random players that I would. I mean, the fact that the concourse sends the players through the traffic of all the fans into the locker room is. Whether it was by, you know, intentionally done or not is part of the fun. Like
they will spend time looking and saying,
yeah, like you're walking among giants when you're a kid watching
you
that.
You probably don't have to hang your head like I do. I don't know how many ball games I've been to, but I have never got a foul ball.
Oh, geez.
Did you ever get a foul ball?
I have so many of them.
Oh, yeah.
How many bodies of water did you dive in to
lot.
Get those?
So my favorite baseball that I have, and I have a Sandberg personally signed ball. I have a home run ball that Derek Hudson hit. And as soon as he hit it, I left. I knew I wasn't coming back because there's no re-entry. And as soon as he hit it, I took off and went out combing the outfield outside the fence. And I found his home run ball, brought it in the next day for him. He wouldn't take it. He said, I have a feeling you'll keep it better than I will.
Wow.
Signed it for me. And like that. So that's one of my prized possessions. And again, like to anybody else, it's a baseball. I have three younger brothers, and one of the bats that he gave me, I found out in the backyard once after a night of rain. And I was absolutely mortified to lose that one. It was a signature on that one too. That's gone. But that's still hanging in my office right now. So,
Andrew, what hockey player do you have? Do you have any cards of hockey players?
I have the early 90s Buffalo Sabres.
Wow.
You know, half of them people wouldn't even know the names of. But I remember waiting in line a long time at the Galleria or this great skate in Buffalo to see. I remember when we stood in line to get Alexander Mogilny's. Alex Mogilny was the first NHL player to defect from Russia, from the USSR.
Ooh.
And a fascinating story about how he became in the NHL. I mean, the Buffalo Sabres had to sneak him out of Russia.
Wow.
Yeah, fascinating story about it. And the fear was if they had caught him once they knew he was deflecting, Alex Mogilny's family was very possibly going to get killed. So, this is a fascinating story. Anyway, so he's the first player to come over here. And I remember waiting in line at the Galleria to get his autograph. And we probably waited for a kid, it seemed like days. We probably waited 2.5 hours. And he spoke zero English. So even when you would say thank you, he would just nod, but he had an interpreter behind him. So if people asked questions or whatever, and I remember he had this, you know, beautiful set of like perm-like hair, and it was just fascinating to have that autograph from him, not know any of his story, but to look back now and say, I have his autograph. Wow. You know, that and other, you know, the Dale Howard checks, the Uwe Krupps, the Darren Pupas, the Pat LaFontaines, you know, things like that. And, you know, I have a Buffalo Bills helmet with various Bills on from, you know, the SUNY Fredonia days, you know, and at that point I wasn't looking for superstars. It was, oh my gosh, I have this Buffalo Bills autograph, you know, William Wolford or, you know, the lineman who nobody today would think a thing of, but, you know, the house, you know, and the, you know, they had these cool names. So I have a lot of great memories from getting autographs. But I have one question, because we're about to wrap up the show. Jerry Lee, you're talking about all this stuff you're collecting, and I wrote down on my cheat sheet here, do you have a room at home that is dedicated to all this, and who is allowed in it?
So I do, and it's not it's actually something that I just recently finished. During the pandemic, I think a lot of people created home offices, or whether it started as a kitchen table, like that's what we did. And I finished up an office that is probably 30% workspace and 70% everything else that I'm not allowed to have in the house.
Right.
And that's where I have my jerseys and I have helmets and footballs and all of that stuff in the room. And the only thing it's missing, because I don't have room for it, is I got two seats from the Wrigley Field bleachers after they were doing renovations that are actually in our living room, right by the back door. It's where you sit to put on your shoes. It's the perfect kind of seat for that. It's incredibly uncomfortable otherwise, but I have my home office is you know, adorned with all the stuff that I can fit in it anyway. And if it doesn't fit, then I have to get rid of something to put something new in it, which I think is okay.
Yeah, for what, the last 10 years, I've been hauling around from place to place a pair of the Memorial Auditorium seats from Buffalo.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, and I have a pair of the blue seats. And, you know, just like you said, I'm going to put it, where you put that? Well, I'm going to put it by the door. Put my boots on. I have a place to sit. You know, space-wise, right. They fold up and everything. Well, they're still in the garage, but they're not going anywhere. We have to wrap up the program, Jerry Lee, but a final question for you, and I think I know the answer for this. How far away are we right now, do you think, from having a collector's show in Jamestown because of everything that's happened?
Hopefully not long. Hopefully not long. I do think there's a lot that's going to happen just with the store that we have to build up that community, and I think people are just going to say, okay, let's do it. Let's set up something. I know Erie has a bunch. They have a lot in Buffalo. Why not? There's definitely collectors here. I meet a new one every day, and my phone is full of them. So, we run into each other, and people definitely are here to do that.
And they used to have card shows in Jamestown where somebody would come in. And
the Holiday Inn would have them, right?
Holiday Inn had regular, yeah.
I have one really quick thing I got to pull in here. So one of these cards that I have, when I was 12, I sat outside that Holiday Inn card show, and I got paid $1 an hour to sell tickets to people as they walked in. And at the very end of the day, I think I had $6. And I bought one pack of cards from one of the vendors with the $6 that I have, and I got this Joe Montana autograph card.
No.
And I ran circles around the Holiday Inn, up and down the hallways.
Hooting and hollering.
After I got that card. And that was... we have had those shows. I used to go to them when I was young all the time, and I would love to see us.
And the great thing about that story, you're as thrilled right now as you're sitting here.
Yeah, you can see
over
it.
That card as you were the day you got.
Yeah, that's never going anywhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That is fantastic.
Thank you for sharing all of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me in. This is
Like I said, we could talk for hours about everything that Jerry has with his experience and with. You know, not just sports, but life, because you're a talented guy with a lot of stuff. So I know we're going to have you back as we did last time, because I got to ask you quickly. The last time Jerry was here was with Paul Lombardo. It was after the World Series. We kind of had like this wrestling match, you know, in the room. How's your baseball season? How you feeling?
I don't think we had one. I'm going to say that they shut down Wrigley Field this year from COVID, and that we didn't have to play any games, and that's why we have so many fewer wins. It's gonna be a while.
When's the last Chicago game you went to?
The World Series.
Was it that? Yeah. Was it after we had talked?
On yeah, no, before? I hadn't. Yeah, I haven't been up there since. I think I went the year after to a game with my wife, but it didn't end the way that we wanted it to.
Another personal thing, you can just ignore it if you want to. But where did the name Jerry Lee come from? Does anybody ever introduce you as Jerry Lee Lewis?
Constantly. Jerry Lee Lewis is almost a sure bet, as is Jeremiah was a bullfrog, if I use my full name. It's one of the two, and it's probably, I don't know, every third.
But is Jerry a family name?
Jeremiah was what I was given, and I remember when I was young, my mom asking me, would you rather go by Jerry or Jeremy? And Jerry had fewer letters.
Ah.
And I said, I'm going to do that one because I don't have to write an M. Yeah.
Jerry, we're out of time, but if we caught the ear of somebody who is fascinated with you, mm-hmm. your collection, wants to get in touch, what would you say to those people who want to take that next step to be able to get in touch locally with collectors?
Yeah, go to a ball game, and it's not to plug him. He's doing a great thing for collectors. My collection is dwarfed by a few other people in Jamestown for sure, and just go down there just to hang out. Yeah. Like it's men acting like children and having a great time doing it.
Jerry Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
Russ.
For having me.
Fantastic show as always.
Just marvelous.
And you never know who we'll have next.
Amen.
On the times of your life. Well, it's the time of the year where it's getting a little cooler outside, and sometimes you just have to have that warm-up. And that's when you should turn to our friends at Rainer's Liquor Store, Fluvan Avenue in Jamestown, because they have just about anything you need to warm up on these cool fall evenings or brisk fall mornings. You can add some Kahlua or Bailey's or Molly's to your coffee. Also, they have the Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. The Rebel is in. They got that in a few weeks ago, brand new in stock. It was requested by a customer. This stuff is really good, as well as their regular Manhattan or Old Fashioned barrel-finished cocktails from High West. That's in stock. They got the Old Smoky Tennessee Peanut Butter or Caramel Whiskey. Of course, all the gin and tonics, the gin and sodas, the Svetka soda mixes. Yep, real vodka, real juice. Wines from around the world. Of course, all your local stuff as well as American wines. They got the wines from Italy and France and Spain. If you have a special event coming up, champagne, they can hook you up at Rainer's Liquor Store. If you're going to a party, you know what they're serving, but you don't really know what wine would pair well, go into Rainer's. Rainer's Liquor Store has a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, and can tell you exactly the right beverage to serve with your meal or if you're going somewhere else. Christmas just around the corner. I know you don't want to think about it, but if you want to get something special for those people on your wish list, Rainer's Liquors can hook you up as well. Jim Beam, Captain Morgan, Maker's Mark, Frank's Red Hot Original Bloody Mary Mix is in stock as well. Rainer's Liquor Store. If you don't know what you're looking for, when you go in, they will help you. Rainer's Liquor Store, proud to bring you the times of your life this morning with Jerry Lee on WJTN. We also would like to thank Lena's Pizza, where pizza becomes art. They have a fantastic staff. They take a lot of pride in serving the local community what they need this time of year. Jumbo wings. It's football season. You can't watch a Bills game or a Steelers fan or a Steelers game or a Browns game without some jumbo wings. Before the big high school game, you want to stop on by Lena's Pizza, get the food so it's ready to go for that hungry athlete when they're done playing. Or if you're looking for a side salad or just, you know, chicken fingers, they can hook you up as well at Lena's Pizza. They are a Jamestown tradition, fresh ingredients, never frozen. Their menu is online. If you want to check it out, go to lenaspizzaonline.com. If you want cheese that melts in your mouth and is fresh and flavorful, just like the secret sauce they have, Lena's Pizza is the place to go for high quality. You should have their phone number memorized by now if you live in Jamestown. But if you don't, give them a call at 716-484-0600. 716-484-0600. Lena's Pizza, 902 East 2nd Street in Jamestown. Proud to support WJTN Sports and the times of your life.